I hereby introduce to you Mr. Michael Veazey.
So, you mentioned the first thing is to get attention. And yes. What's the second part then? After you've seen your pink car cover saying Princess's Beast or whatever thing you come up with. What do you need to do next?
So you need to have great photography, right? So you can't, not good photography, not the best you can do, great. You need the best photos you can possibly get. And the example I give people is Airbnb. So if you think about Airbnb, they were the reason, if you read their history, one of the key decisions they made early on was to send professional photographers out to people's homes to take photos, because the reason people weren't booking is because the photos weren't good enough. And as soon as they put the professional photographers out in the field and offered that for free to Airbnb hosts, their business took off, because all of a sudden everybody's house looked like a five-star hotel.
It's very interesting you said that, actually, because my partner and I we've stayed in quite a few Airbnbs, and it is a bit like shopping on Amazon because it's a very kind of professional experience. And I hadn't really thought it, just very stupid of me to be buying online and selling online, not think about photographs, but I hadn't thought of the fact that they all look professional and the fact that somebody was actually taking care of that as part of the experience. But that makes sense now. As a consumer, I kind of didn't notice it because it was so slickly done and so consistent.
Yes.
And that's a major hint, right, as a seller.
Major, major. And so many people, you know, the problem with a lot of these courses is they've brought people in to look at Amazon and they've sold Amazon well short of what it actually is. So they say to people, you only need $1,000 and you could be making $30,000 a month in 6 months. It's just not true, right? It's a complete lie. But I say to people, look, if you start off with $5,000 and if all you do in the first year is figure out how to rotate that money at 30% margin and you get 30% back on your $5,000, Warren Buffett is the best investor in the world and he's one of the richest men in the world. And if you look at his track record over history, he compounds money at 20% per annum. You've just done it at 30%. So you're 50% better than Warren Buffett if you can do that in the first year. And the second year, you'll probably get better and learn to rotate that twice instead of once a year. So now you're actually getting 60% on your money. And if you sit down with a compound interest calculator and you start to do the math on what $5,000 or $10,000 turns into when you compound it at 60% annually, you've got an unbelievable vehicle at your disposal in Amazon. But most of these get-rich-quickers have sort of taught people that, you know, you're failing if you're not making 20 grand a month within a year. It's just unfortunate.
Yeah, I agree with you totally on that. The idea of starting with $1,000 and turning it into $30,000, you know, what they neglect to mention is that somebody took out a $20,000 loan in month three or something. So tell me a bit about capital. I mean, you've touched on that yourself. Obviously, you went with 6 products. And you went from scratch with 6 products to $1 million in a year of turnover. I have to presume that you put some substantial capital in up front to do that. Would I be right?
$1 million run rate, yeah. So not, it won't do $1 million in the first year, but now we're getting to that 80 grand a month level now.
Right,
so 80 grand a month is $1 million a year, roughly. Look, let me think. 6 products, just doing the math quickly in my head. I think I probably started that business with about 60 grand maybe because I've been running 3 years. So I have another brand entirely that I've run for three years prior. So, yeah, I had more capital. When I first started, I started with $20,000 and I never took a cent out. I actually haven't taken a cent out to this day. I did take an Amazon loan that they offered me the middle of last year just to see how it worked. They emailed me and said, hey, would you like 20 grand? Just click here. And I thought, well, I teach this stuff, so I might just take a loan because I could easily afford it. And they just take it out of my Amazon distribution for 6 months. So I thought, yeah, I'll take it. And it literally was one click. They said, do you agree to for us to debit your account 6 times over 6 months? I think it was 3 grand a month. And I said, yes. And that was it. The 20 grand came with my next distribution. And I just was 3 grand light on every distribution each month. But apart from that, I've taken no money and I've just compounded it. And now I have hundreds of thousands of dollars of inventory paid for in the distribution centers around the world. And the business is worth, you know, quite a bit of money now.
Yeah. So you've talked about, it's just very, very interesting because the only person I've really heard talking about turnover, not in the sense of revenue, but in, as in turning your cash back over, getting it back out of the system. So compounding is Will Chernland, who's pretty much obsessed with it. I think my conversation with him, it kind of all came back to that. So tell me more about how you've, obviously you've achieved a pretty impressive ability. I mean, if you've obtained 60,000 upfront capital and turned it into after 12 months, 80,000 per month in revenue, that's obviously a fantastic success in that way. So how on earth did you achieve that? And what can we learn about that if we're starting with much more modest amounts of capital?
Yeah, look, I mean, I'm experienced at doing what I'm doing now at this point. And so experience is just activity and time. So it's not, you're not born with it. Anybody can learn to do that if they stick at it. And I know Will, actually. He's a great, great young guy. The difference, I think, with Will and myself is Will is a by his own admission, he'll farm products and flip them. He doesn't care what it is. He'll just flip it, make a margin, and, you know, start 20, 30 new little products, throw them all on Amazon, find the two or three that are real hits, clear the rest out, and keep doing that cycle. That's not the business that I wanted to build. I wanted to build a business that actually was a small number of products, you know, like that brand that's doing $1 million a year, six products with an average price to buy all the way to Amazon of about $8 and a retail of about $40. And there's two of them that are, sorry, there's eight products, six. One of them is selling for $129 and the rest is selling for $40. So, my strategy is to, I think that the purpose and the point of building an Amazon brand is to establish its rank in whatever category you are, get it onto page one and keep it there. When I actually spoke to Will, I interviewed him about a year ago. He had 1,700 SKUs. And I just couldn't imagine what that must be like to wake up in the morning and have to think about and monitor 1,700 different SKUs. I want to actually get up in the morning and go to the beach. So I would rather a far, far more narrow, profitable business, because I'm doing this because I actually want to have a life and enjoy my life. So what I, as I said, the work is in finding those few high margin, good products that are differentiated in ways that aren't obvious to most people. Work really hard on building the listing and then just keep them there on page one for life.
Fantastic. So tell us, that brings us to the key question then, which is, how do you do that? Because obviously I understand and relate to your business philosophy, and I think most people do. Most people don't have the stomach for having 1,700 SKUs. I think apart from thinking it takes a certain kind of mind, which I think Mill has. He's got a very mathematical mind and he moves at you know, crazy speed. It's like interviewing him was like playing tennis. It was like it was great fun. I mean, he's a fab guy. But how do the more human amongst us who are aspiring to, you know, to be, you know, Adam Hudson with six products turning over, you know, $80,000 a month, so, you know, equivalent to $1 million a year, how do we get closer to that? And what is the process by which you find those products or ideas? How do you filter it down to the ones you take forward? And what's your next process after that?
Well, it's really an art to paying attention. So like we just talked about with Airbnb, to be successful in the way that I'm successful, it's all about paying attention to the details and being very, very objective. So if we were to sit down together and go, okay, what made Airbnb successful? And we were to reverse engineer all the aspects of what made it amazing success and then study it and unpack it. That's what you need to do with Amazon. If you look at what your own experiences, most people just, when they go into a marketplace, they're thinking about their budget. Like, I've got to produce a product within this price range, and that's all wrong. Because you're building a product around your limitations and needs rather than around the wants and desires of a customer. So the reason, I'll give you a couple of stats and then I'll explain this. With my top-selling products, there's six of them in total right now. By the end of this year, I'm adding two more to them. So it'll be eight in that little brand. But there's two or three of them are on page one of Amazon for the biggest term that is... That they're on. And I've had a couple of breaks. Like in the last month, I've had two major TV television shows. Producers have bought my product and put it in scenes with the actors using my product, which has boosted sales, which has been really nice. But that feeds back to what I'm about to tell you. Now, on page one, it's either two or three positions are taken up with my products. But what's even more fascinating is that I am, there's two of my items in a box, and most of my competitors sell four or six. So I sell two, half as many, and the next cheapest guy beneath me is $20. I'm 40, then the next guy's 20, and everybody else on page one is under that. So I'm literally at least twice the price of every other listing on page one, and I sell half as many of what it is.
so that's very interesting, because that almost exactly mirrors the words of Kevin King, who's another guy who I've had on, who I thought was amazing, because he's very, very individual and not following these trends at all. And exactly like you, he's going for really high margin, really high quality, obsessed with photo quality. It's very much the same story. So that's very, very interesting to hear that from a completely independent source, you know. So how did you find these wonderful products in the first place? I mean, obviously you didn't go in with a limited budget. You went in a different way. So what was your kind of starting point?
Well, I'll answer that, but I'll just unpack for the listeners what kinds of things you need to pay attention to in order to be able to demand. See, some people listen to me speak and they'll go, oh, I get it, I just charge more. I'm like, no, there has to be a clear reason that a customer is going to give you more money. It can't be headlines, and it can't be because you said it's better. You know, that doesn't cut it. So with my logo on my box, like, my product is often gifted, and I know that when people give something, they're giving the box, they're giving everything, right? It's the experience. They want the person. Like, you look at a Tiffany ring, right? People are buying the box as much as they're buying the diamond in it. They want to say to their fiance, I bought this at Tiffany, right? So every aspect of it needs to be thought about. Like, if you're thinking about a logo, don't just go to Fiverr and say, I'm going to pay somebody in the Philippines $15. My whole philosophy is pay once for the best, pay attention, and write amazing briefs for everything. So no matter what aspect of my business that I'm dealing with, whether it's an accountant or whether it's a designer, I tell them, this is what the benchmark is, and I want you to be as good or better than that. And I articulate all of this stuff. So I will spend a few hours looking at the best logos in the world. I will Google best logos in this category or that category, and I'll study them, and I'll go, what do I like about this? Why am I drawn to this? And, you know, this particular brand's got a kind of a regal feel to it. So, you know, I said, I want something regal. I want something that implies royalty. I want something that's, you know, along similar to Rolex and similar to whatever, you know. So I'll give them examples, and I'll really take the time to paint a clear benchmark of what I'm wanting. Because if you go to something like 99 Designs, the work you're going to get back is only as good as the brief that you put in. So I was very specific about the type of logo I wanted. I spent a little extra on the packaging so that when customers get it, they're like, oh my God, look at this box. And in fact, my box was so beautiful that I got complaints if it had any marks on it when it arrived from Amazon. So I had to get a second cardboard sleeve to go over to protect the box, you know. So
that's very interesting. Don't worry, we used to all sorts of noises off here, but what's really interesting is basically what you're saying is your packaging had become such a beautiful thing that was in itself a product, and therefore you had to package the packaging because people were complaining about the packaging itself being damaged because they liked it so much, they cared about it so much.
They would take the product out of the box and leave the box on the shelf to show that they bought one of my boxes, you know, my brand. And so you think about Apple. People make videos of unboxing an Apple, you know. It's an experience in itself. The term unboxing I'd never heard of until Apple came on the scene. People are like, oh, I've got my unboxing. And I was like, what the heck is an unboxing? But they were so excited about the thought and the simplicity. So premium, you know, people assume that there's nobody with money out there. Everybody wants the cheapest thing. That's just simply not true. How do you think Louis Vuitton does business? How do you think Gucci does business? In America, there's 10 million millionaires, so something like that. It's some ridiculous number. 10 million people who have $1 million or more. I mean, there's a lot of people that are tired of cheap crap and they actually want to buy something nice, and they're prepared. If you're selling something for $40 when everyone else is selling it for $20, it's still only $40. A lot of people can afford $40. And so this doesn't apply to all products, right? Some products, it doesn't warrant going to the degree that I did. But it still warrants a logo design is the same price to be printed anywhere. So in photography, look at the best brands in the world. Go pick up a Mercedes-Benz brochure, a physical one from your Mercedes-Benz dealership or a Montblanc store or a Rolex store. Go in and ask for a brochure and look at the photography. Look at how close the camera is to the product. Look at how they show detail. Look at how the lighting is perfect and beautiful. You know, taking an iPhone shot on a white piece of cardboard that you bought at the news agency is not going to cut it anymore.
Done that myself recently with a few sort of products I got in just for the sheer hell of experimenting with this idea of, go and spend $500 on something from, AliExpress. I mean, I did that with like 20 different products and I couldn't have regretted it more. I mean, I had boxes for 2.5 months in this very room in the corner, just kind of sitting there while I cut my heart together to do something that I knew was futile. So even as the seller, I think if you're working with something beautiful and that is kind of has value, and I say that in the broader sense, that it feels worth something. It feels worth spending time and effort on. I totally am with you on this. And the more I've tried doing cheap products because it feels less scary, the more I've regretted it. And I have to second that.
It's easy to sell a course, which is most people have bought, when you tell people everything's cheap and free. But if you tell people, hey, here's how you do it properly, you're building a real business. That, you know, I'm sitting here 3 years later, and without being boastful, I don't have to work anymore because I did it right at the start, you know. So there's no shortcut to these things. You know, you can churn and burn and put 50 products up on Amazon, but if that's your strategy of just doing lots fast, then you're always going to have to do that, as opposed to get it right once at the start, do it beautifully, make something that the customer is going to go, wow, this actually is really cool. I can see there's love in this product. Amazon will reward you over time.